Well, it's a privilege to be here once again today. Thank you for the invitation to be here. I've really enjoyed the ministry in song and in testimony. And what's been really encouraging is about 9 years ago, 9 years ago and 8 years ago, I was helping out at Youth Council Camp. Some of these young people were there and professed salvation. And it's so wonderful to see them going on with the Lord tonight and standing and testifying for the Lord and singing for the Lord. And I pray the Lord will bless them and use them mightily in the days that lie ahead. You know, Satan does want to destroy our lives. He wants to destroy our testimonies. He wants to turn us away from the things that will help us and profit us. And I just pray that these young people will know the blessing of God and God's hand upon their life, and that they will go through with God no matter what, because you'll never regret giving your everything to the Lord. I want to turn to Genesis chapter 9, just read a couple of verses, then have a word of prayer. We're turning to a few different passages tonight in God's Word, but I want just to turn to Genesis chapter 9 and commence reading at verse number 12. Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 12. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." Amen. Let's pray God will open our hearts tonight to his truth, and he'll speak to each one gathered here. Our gracious Lord, our loving Eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of being in the house of God once again today. Thank thee, Lord, for the health and strength we have to be here. Thank thee, Lord, for the building that thou hast provided for thy worship and thy preaching. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless the young people who've taken part tonight. Thank thee for those who love the Lord. We pray, Lord, you'll bless them in their lives. If they make major life decisions, we pray, Lord, you'll guide them through thy word. And, Lord, they'll be led of God, that they'll hear that voice behind them saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." Lord, I pray you'll just give help to each of the workers who work with the young people. We thank you for those who have a burden for the youth of our congregations. And we do ask thee, Lord, that out of these young men, young women, you'll raise up those who will be missionaries and preachers of the word of God. Lord, we thank thee for what's taken place tonight. We thank thee that the Lord has been glorified. And we pray, Lord, that just now as we open thy truth, that, Lord, you'll help us to hear thy voice. Know thy truth. O God, I pray that this word will be real to us tonight, that it will be as a nail in a sure place. We pray, Lord, you'll bless God's people. You'll restore backsliders tonight. We pray you'll save the unsaved tonight. And Lord, that even through thy truth, that much will be done for the kingdom of God. To this end, I pray, O Lord, that thou wilt have full control of the rest of this meeting. We pray, Lord, to empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit. And help me to deliver the word of God that thou hast laid upon my heart to the glory of thy name and for the extension of thy kingdom. I ask it for Christ's sake and his glory alone. Amen. Amen. Whenever you read through the word of God, there are times certain words or phrases just jump out at you and you want to sit and study them a little bit more. And not too long ago, I was reading the word of God and this word just kept coming up again and again and again. And it's the word remember. And I sat down with concordance one night and looked at the different times in scripture where the word remember occurs. And you know, there's some wonderful, wonderful lessons to be learned out of the word of God using the word remember. What I read here tonight was the very first time the word remember is mentioned in scripture. And it's interesting to note that it's mentioned in relation to the Lord dealing with his people. The Lord dealing with his people. And the Lord enters into a covenant. He gives a token of that covenant, a rainbow in the sky, to show his love, to show his mercy, to show of his promise that he will never again destroy the world by a flood. And the Lord says, "I will remember." And when the Lord says he'll remember something, thank the Lord, we can take great confidence in that, because what God does is eternal. He cannot fail. And God says, I will remember. It's interesting to note that another time in Genesis, whenever the word remember is used, it's used of a man, and it's used in Genesis chapter 40 and verse number 23. And it says there, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And that reminds us, doesn't it, of the difference between God and man. What God does is eternal. God never fails. And here's man forgetting. Maybe you're in the congregation and you know what it is to forget frequently and more frequently. I feel like that sometimes. I have to write things down. Otherwise, it does not happen. So you're in good company. But we're trying to remember tonight, and we're going to do that using the Word of God. I want to turn you to three passages of God's Word, and I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart tonight, and that you will remember what God says even through His truth. The first passage is Ecclesiastes, and the chapter number 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1. A very familiar portion of God's Word, very important portion of God's Word. And it says there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It's that little phrase at the start of that verse, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, can I just say something before we go any further in this passage? This verse is not just for young people. Sometimes you hear a minister standing up and say, young people, remember your Creator. Young people, remember your Creator. Now, this is God's Word. And every word of God is applicable for all people. The remembrance of our Creator is for all people. You might be an older person tonight. God declares in His Word, remember me. You might be a child tonight. God declares in His Word, remember me. I believe what this verse is teaching is the best time to commence this remembrance of God and to think rightly of God is in your youth. And therefore, throughout your life, you'll have established a pattern that will help you to walk with God. So don't look at this verse and think, well, it's not for me because I'm not youth anymore. Well, yes, it is for you. Now, what does it say here? Remember now. Right here, right now. You see, people are often too busy to think. It's amazing, if you walk down the street, you'll find people often walking with headphones in. And I'm as guilty as anybody else, in case you see me and you say you were saying about other people. And they're listening to music all the time. You get up, you turn on the radio or the television. There's always something going on. And you know, we really take very little time to stop and to think and to consider. And you know, I believe sometimes people don't want time to think. And people don't want to sit in silence because they're scared of the realities they might have to face. And they fill their mind with activity and noise so they don't have to think. But the Word of God tells us to think, to use our minds, to remember now who God is and who we truly are. You see, it says, remember now thy Creator. And as you think of God, the principal way you must think of God is as your Creator. You see, that is the foundation of Scripture. God created the heaven and the earth. That's the foundation of salvation, because God as your Creator desires to save you. And therefore, it's important that we must acknowledge we are created beings. We're living in a world today that wants to really take that doctrine and throw it to the side. So many attacks coming in on the creation of this world and God as Creator. And people are coming up with scientific so-called facts and certainly theories that they hope will displace God. Why? Because people would rather think the universe came out of nowhere than to acknowledge that they were created by the living and true God, and therefore, as such, they have a responsibility to Him. But if you notice in verse number 7 of this passage we just read, it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return unto God who gave it. And here we find that Solomon is saying through this passage of God's Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's saying there's come a time we will stand before our Creator. And there'll come a time when our allotted span of life is completed. and will not be able to go any further, and the soul will leave the body, and we will be before the Lord. And it's important that now you remember God. That now you seek God. That now you turn to God. That now you give him his rightful place in your life. It's interesting because this very book of Ecclesiastes sees Solomon seeking to find out what life was all about. What will bring me satisfaction, purpose, fulfillment, joy in life. And that's what people are looking for. And especially in our youthful years, we think, what is it that will bring me joy in life? What decisions can I make that will give me the best life I can have? And that's good and proper to consider those things. What is it that Solomon tried? Well, he tried music, he tried making money, he tried building projects, he tried employment, he tried relationships, he tried increasing himself with knowledge, but he found out that when you leave the Creator out of your life, then everything you live for is empty. That's why he said in verse number 8, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. That word vanity means emptiness. Emptiness of emptinesses. All is emptiness. And folks, a life without Christ is empty. Oh, you may have much to show for your life in this world, but if you do not have Christ, then when you stand before God, you stand with empty hands. Nothing to show but the sin of a life lived without Christ. Some of the things that Solomon tried were against God's law. Some of the things that he tried were good and wholesome in their own right. But all without God were empty. Nothing brought spiritual satisfaction. And nothing profited in eternity. And that's how many people are living today. They're living without God. And maybe you're in this meeting tonight, and while you're in the house of God, and in your hand you hold the Word of God, and you've been singing hymns about the Lord, the reality is you have lived your life without God. And here in God's presence still, you're living your life without Him and against Him. Can I say, if you live your life without Christ and you die without Christ, then you go into eternity without Christ. Yes, you'll stand before Him, but you'll hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Of course, He knew all about you, but He never knew you in that right and proper relationship where He was your Savior. And folks, tonight, the most important thing you can do with your life is get right with God. The most important thing you can do with your life is to remember now who you are and who God is, and to bow the knee and to call on the Lord to save you. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter the letters after your name when you die. Doesn't matter the money in the bank. It doesn't matter the clothes you wore or how people thought of you in this world. All that matters is that it is well with your soul. And God's brought you here to this house tonight to be reminded. Remember now your Creator. What's the conclusion of the matter? Well, verse number 13 says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is life about? What is living? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Here we have man's duty to love God. That word fear God has a thought of respect and honour, to honour the Lord by the love you give Him, by the life you lead before Him. And then we discover God will judge us all. It doesn't matter what the preacher thinks of you tonight. It doesn't matter what the obituary column says. Because God will bring everything into judgment. And His say is final. If you're living without Christ tonight, then I urge you, remember now. Remember now your Creator. But the second passage of Scripture, if you turn with me please to Luke chapter 16. And here we come to Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 16, a very familiar portion of Scripture. And you know, at that time, or that part of God's Word, where there was a beggar named Lazarus and there was a rich man. And we find that they came to the end of their life and one was taken to heaven. That was Lazarus. But the rich man went to hell. And we read from verse number 24. And the rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And here we have the scene where the man is crying out from the depths of hell. And he's crying out for help. And he's crying out for relief. And he's crying out for comfort. Now, can I say something tonight? This man was not in hell because he was rich. It's not a sin to be rich. But this man was in hell because he died the way he was born. He died as a sinner. He never turned to the Lord in his lifetime. He never called for mercy. He never repented of his sin. But notice something else about this passage of God's word. This man had some faculties that he had upon this earth. As he went into hell, he went with his memory. And Abraham says in verse number 25, Son, remember. Remember in thy lifetime that you received good things. And that man was told, look back over your life. And you look at the good things which you have received and the blessings and the benefits and the privileges that you have received in your life. What had he received? Well, we can tell from this passage, if we read it entirely, that he received health. He had wealth. He had comfort in life. And he had a sound mind. And what would it be, man or woman, young person, boy or girl, for you to live this life upon the earth and then stand before God and be asked to remember your lifetime. The good things that you had in your lifetime. The very fact we're sitting here tonight tells me that we have received good things in life. In this meeting tonight, we all have a measure of health. We all have a portion of wealth, maybe not as much as we would like or as others, but we've some money. We all have some comfort in the clothes that we wear, the bed we'll sleep upon, the food that we eat. And thank the Lord, with sound minds, we're able to hear and understand what others are saying to us. But I would go even further than those things. Folks, God has blessed you tonight with a gift of hearing. To listen to the preaching of the Word of God. The gift of sight to read the Word of God. There are those in this meeting tonight, and you're unsaved, and yet you've had the privilege of growing up under Christian parents in a Christian home. There are those in this meeting tonight who have the privilege of attending Sunday school, youth fellowship, of attending a faithful, Bible-believing, and gospel-preaching church. There are those in this gathering, if I went to you and I said, remember in your lifetime, the times you heard the gospel, you would have to say, well, I remember the pilgrims coming to my area, the tent missions, the gospel halls, the evangelists, the preachers from all over the world. I've heard a vast array. Friend, God's been good to you. You've received good things. You know the gospel. You've had the opportunity. You've had the privilege perhaps of having a saved husband or wife, a mother or father, a son, a daughter, a brother or sister. Tonight you have a knowledge of the things of God. You are greatly blessed. But if you're not saved while you're greatly blessed, you're damned for eternity because you do not have Christ. Many good things have been given to you. A friend, all you've done with them is ignored them. And spurned them. And turned your back on them. You can recite verses of scripture. You could tell me the story of the gospel and tonight you're not saved. What an awful thing it must be for a man or a woman, a young person, to go into God's eternity unsaved. The gospel ringing in their ears, singing the hymns, being in the house of God. You see, you've received much from the Lord, and yet you're not saved tonight. I would urge you with all my heart tonight to remember in your lifetime what God has done for you, and the privileges and the blessings that God has given to you. Friend, I believe if you honestly take time to see how God has striven with your soul and mercifully dealt with you, you ought to fall on your knees and say, "Oh God, be merciful to me. Forgive me, Lord." And could it be you're born and brought up in a church, much prayed for, much biblical knowledge, and yet tonight you're still a heartbeat away from hell? Well, I urge you tonight, remember your lifetime and remember your God. The final passage tonight as we draw to a close is Luke's Gospel in the chapter number 23. And here's another time the word remember is used in Scripture. I think this is one of the most beautiful passages of God's Word. And it says in Luke's Gospel chapter 23 and verse 39, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And here we come tonight, as we come to the conclusion of our service, we come to the cross. And you know, as we view that scene tonight, there are many people around that cross, many people who had no time for the Lord, many people who hated the Saviour, no thought for their soul, and yet during that time there was one man who called out to the Lord in faith. He's often described as the dying thief. And you know, he's a great example and a great encouragement that it's never too late to be saved. Keep praying for your loved ones. Keep urging them to trust in the Saviour. And yet there's some people, and you know, very wickedly, they say, "Well, you know what, I live the life that I want to live, and then I'll get saved in my deathbed." Well, friend, how foolish. I don't need to give you the examples of the last number of days and weeks in our world to show you of the brevity of life and the uncertainty of life. And even if you were to get to your deathbed, there's no guarantee you would want to call upon the Lord. Because let's not forget, while one thief died on one side and called on Christ, another died mocking the Lord. Remember going to the bedside of someone just hours before they died, and I said, "Look, I'm reading with you, I'm praying with you. I don't want to know. But you need to know this. Listen, I don't want to hear. Just minutes from eternity. A friend, no desire to get right with God." That's why the Word of God says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. And if you feel the urge and the need to be saved, if you feel the burden of your sin, if you feel a desire to get right with God, then you act upon that tonight. Because you're not guaranteed another opportunity. Notice the cry he had, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You know, this man had a fear of God. Look what it says in verse 40. "Dost not thou fear God?" Oh, the Lord had worked a miracle within this man's heart. He hadn't a great fear of God whenever he was robbing and thieving and committing a sin. But oh, as he viewed the face of the Saviour, There was a fear of God came upon his heart, and he acknowledged the sin. Look at verse 41. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. And that's when you know somebody's ready to get saved, when they realise they're a sinner. Somebody in this meeting tonight, and that's exactly what you've realised. Maybe over the past number of days or weeks, the burden of your sin has been upon you. You find it hard to get to sleep. You find it hard just to have peace with yourself, because you know the issue of your sin needs to be dealt with. Night, whenever you go to bed and close your eyes, there's always that fear. If I don't wake up, what am I going to do? How am I going to stand before God? Because your sin is ever before you. Well, praise God. Because that means you're concerned over your sin. And you need to acknowledge that sin. But it's not just enough to acknowledge your sin. It's a very interesting study in Scripture. The man who said, I have sinned. But out of the man who said, I have sinned, I believe it's seven times it said. Only three times was it said in repentance. Four men declared in Scripture, I have sinned. And that was right, they had. But they never turned from that sin and trusted Christ. But thank God some of them did. And they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where he exercises his faith. Lord, remember me. He cried that the Lord would remember him. And he had come to the place when he realized all he could do for his soul was to cry out on the mercy of God. Friend, that's all you can do for your soul. That's all I can do for my soul. We're not told to attend church for so many weeks before we get saved, or to turn our lives around before we call on the Lord. No, we call on the Lord as we are, as sinners, guilty and hell deserving. Love that hymn, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And Lord, you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. How do I come? I come as a sinner. And that's whom the Lord receives, sinners. And he saves them, and he washes them in the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. What are you saying whenever you say, Lord, remember me? What are you saying when you say, Lord, save me? You're saying, Lord, you're my only hope. I believe what you did on the cross of Calvary was for me. As my substitute, you died and bore my sin. And I thank you, Lord, that your blood has power to save me from my sin. That's what you're saying when you say, Lord, save me. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And I want you to notice something about this passage of God's word, that this man's salvation was instant. It was instant. There wasn't a lot of time to lose here. This man was dying. And immediately the Lord spoke to him. And the moment you call, praise God, it's the moment you're saved. And you need to be saved. And you can be saved tonight. Because as our brother said, there's a Savior who's ready. And there's a Savior who's able. And there's a Savior who's willing. And this moment, if you will believe, then you will receive. Not only was it instant, but it was all of grace. How do I know that? Because this man had not lived a good life. This man had no time to make up for living a wicked life. But thank the Lord for the grace which is always greater than our sin. What did he do? He simply put his trust in the Savior. And that's what the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. We don't work for it. No, simply by grace we reach out our hand and we receive the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But not only that, this man's salvation was accompanied by a promise, because it says there, Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord just didn't say you're saved, but the Lord promised him he was going to be with him in paradise. And that's the message of Scripture. The word of God does teach us that the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he also says in John's Gospel, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He also says, no man shall pluck me out of the Father's hand. We're told in the book of Romans that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Lord not only saves us, but he gives us precious promises that we might cling to and be strengthened by and walk with. And this salvation was grounded in a great assurance because it was the Lord that spoke to him. And folks, if it was me saying to you, you're saved, those words mean absolutely nothing. They're like dust in the wind. But when I come to the Word of God, there are many times when the Lord declares who is saved. One of my favourites being in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And therefore I can go to this scripture and say, well, have you called on the name of the Lord? Well then, on the authority of God's word, the Lord says you're saved. Whosoever, the dying thief. The man or woman that's lived for decades without Christ, that has a life of sin and regret. Life of shame. Young person who hasn't lived very long and yet still has a lifetime record of sin. The churchgoer that everybody thinks is saved tonight. And in reality in your heart, you've never trusted Christ for salvation. Whosoever tonight, whatever age, whatever gender, whatever background, friend, you need to be saved tonight. And thank the Lord, the offer of God's grace and mercy is for you. There's no life of sin too great, but the Lord can save you. And the Lord always hears the cry of the penitent sinner. You see, remember your Creator. Remember your lifetime. And then the response ought to be, Lord, remember me. And I tell you, if you live your life without the Lord and you stand before Him on that day of judgment, all that will be remembered about you is a record of your sin. But if you stand before God as a Christian, one who trusted Christ as Savior, you know what will be remembered against your name? The merit of Christ. Young people said it tonight. They sang it tonight. His robes for mine. If you get saved tonight, the rags of your sin will be taken off. And you'll be given the robe of righteousness. Oh, we can't see it with the naked eye, but as God looks upon you, He sees one robed in Christ. Thank the Lord, whenever you enter into heaven, you'll hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, not because you lived a wonderful life, but because of the merit of Christ. And you'll stand perfect on that day. You see, I finish as I started. What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? What's the reason for living? We're living in a world today where young people and older people are believing the lie of Satan. You're worthless. Nobody cares about you. There's no point you going on. You don't make any difference. And folks, some people take it to the actual extreme and believe the lie of Satan. If there's no point in living, then I'm not going to live anymore. Sadly, we're living in a land where people feel life is so worthless and empty and hopeless. But they see that the only thing they can do is to take their own life. Why? Because they've grown up in a world that's told them there is no God. That there's no purpose for living. There's no such thing as right or wrong. You read this book, and you'll find it says that He has come to give you life. Abundant life. Eternal life. He's the reason for living. He's the only purpose for living life to the full. Friend, don't listen to the lie of Satan. The Lord loves you. How do I know that? Because He sent His Son to die for you. And tonight you can be saved. Don't leave without the Savior.